I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. We're definitely off
today.
Yeah,
being day seven, we're a lot more off.
Yeah, and so much so, the NTSB has showed up to investigate
us. Sent their crash investigator over. Mr. Jim Silliman, right?
Jim Silliman.
Yeah. Beat you to it.
I'll get you later.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, anytime. So you're part of the crash investigation team.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm out of the Chicago area, and some of the other folks are here for accident standby this year. I'm manning the booth, so I don't have to worry about any accidents personally involved this year.
No calls in the middle of the night.
Nothing like that for me this year.
So. Now, how does that work? Do you keep a bag packed just in case?
Well, typically, yes. There's always, you know, when you're on call, you have to be ready to go just within any moment, really. So we have that. And then when we're doing at Oshkosh, we always send up an investigator for the week, or we'll send up three or four guys or gals, and they'll be here just for the fender benders, hopefully, if that's...
Hopefully they won't be needed.
Yeah, right.
It's a interesting line of work. How did you get into that?
Well, it's... Well, it just happened that the Chicago office was desperate, and I was desperate, and our paths aligned, so I was really happy. It worked out really well, but I've been with the NTSB for 21 years, and I've really enjoyed every day.
Okay, did you have a background in aviation prior to the
job? Right, yep. Everybody that has my job, you have to have a pilot background. But okay. I was in the Marine Corps, flew Hueys, and also T-34 instructor, and had some little time in the commuter airline industry and also in the EMS industry, so... With that and everything else that goes on, I was really happy to bag this NTSB job. Believe me, it's a really good deal.
I don't know. It seems to me that it wouldn't be a happy job. You're going out and investigating something where people have lost their lives, and you're trying to figure out why. It seems, you know, you're starting with a disaster and trying to piece together what happened. Doesn't it get difficult and overwhelming sometimes?
Well, you have to be very aware of the people and the families, the loved ones involved, and you have to be very respectful of what they're going through, for sure. That can pose problems, but we try to do our best to help them through the situation. But basically, the way I look at it is that people want to know what happened. They want to know the facts. And sometimes you just have to grind through and say, we're going to get to the facts and find out what happened. And that's the best way you can serve the people that are involved. And that's what we really, at least that's my kind of the way I look at things. And so the best way I can do is to serve them is to do a very good investigation.
Well, how the prevalence of video cameras everywhere, that has to have changed your investigation somewhat.
Oh, it has definitely. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk a little bit about the accident that happened in last year at Oshkosh with the Malibu that crashed, because that's a perfect example. It was on 7:44 in the morning on a Wednesday last year when the Malibu crashed, and from the first reports, it was talked about a fireball and five people on board, and for sure, I thought, well, you know, we have five fatalities. Well, it turns out that nobody got killed. And there were injuries, but they've, as far as I know, that most of the folks have recovered very well. In fact, two of the people that were in the aft sitting or aft facing middle seats, we had the aircraft over at Myers Aviation here, where we're going to do the layout at 1 o'clock that afternoon. And the two people that were sitting in the aft seats, they came up and they were looking for their cell phones and iPads.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was so happy to see them. And they were, you know, they survived. They had a couple of cuts, but they survived. But going to the question about the video is that there was an executive from Airbus who had his Lancer out on the line at on the north ramp there by Bassler's. And he had what was called not a GoPro, but it's a Kodak SP360. And what it is, it has this little camera that has like a fisheye on it, and it's taking video 360 degrees around completely at the same time. Well, it just happened that he had that on during the accident sequence, so he provided that to the NTSB, and then we had our experts in DC, the engineer guys, figure out how to put that in a normal looking format, and he was able to do a lot of research, and you know, the things that research and engineering guys do, the accelerations, the vertical, lateral, all that kind of stuff, altitude, airspeed, and we were able to really determine a lot about that accident just from that.
Just from a piece of raw video.
One video, and so that was really fascinating. And we're going to be doing a presentation this morning at 10:30 over at the Federal Pavilion talking about that accident and others that have occurred at air shows because what we find a lot is, unfortunately, every 2 or 3 years we find people stalling on base to final type thing. Of course, that's all over the country. We see that, but even at the air shows, and we thought we wanted to talk about that as far as, you know, giving some pilots some tips about, you know, what do you really have to think about when you're flying into Oshkosh or Sun and Fun or some other place like this where there's busy traffic, and how you can get distracted a bit sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of them freak out when they see all those people along the runway.
Well, there are 9,000 airplanes that have made it successfully. Yeah. So what's the, you know, what is it that makes
the difference? The other thing that I've personally seen at an air show is sometimes they're in a hurry to get the air show started. They don't want to start behind schedule, and there's always one straggler. And sometimes I've seen instances where the pilot has been asked to hurry it up, and that's led to problems.
Well, I'll tell you, it would be a real challenge for me to fly into Oshkosh, and the people that do fly, I mean, here you have 10,000 airplanes that make it successful every year, and so they're doing it right, but there are challenges. You know, if you get, you know, if you have a fast airplane, you know, behind a slow airplane, you know, that's a real challenge for people, you know, and how do you manage that, and then you're landing on a dot. That's not something typical for pilots to do, and also, as simple as you're flying a right-hand traffic pattern, maybe that you haven't practiced that for a while. And instead of just, you know, doing your normal left-hand traffic pattern, you have to think about, maybe I should go out and practice a right-hand traffic pattern and also try land on a dot or land on a particular part of the airplane or the airport, just to kind of get yourself in the groove, you know, for coming up to Oshkosh.
It's not even something I would have thought about, but yeah, that makes sense.
And of course, the other side of the coin is, you know, mechanical failures and everything. We've seen that this week. And, you know, it's just something you don't plan on, but you've got to be prepared for it. And occasionally things do break.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's kind of a lower percentage of problems that you encounter, but you do have to be ready for that. And I know for me, if there's one thing that goes wrong in the cockpit, it's like I'm focused on that and I kind of get fixated on it. And then all of a sudden, you know, some of the basics of, you know, just maintaining airspeed, altitude, and angle of bank, you know, you just kind of forget about that. And angle of bank is very critical as you're coming around on the base to final line. We find a lot of people just going, you know, they're going across the center line. They put it in that extra angle of bank, and boy, that's the end of it right there.
Yeah, accelerated stall.
In that case, you're actually better to turn in early and straighten the airplane out.
What he's saying is they don't realize they're going to miss center line until they're way into the turn.
Oh, I've done that.
Trying to compensate.
Yeah, and of course everybody wants you to do at that point if there's a situation like that. And ATC, you guys will be the first to tell you, just go around. Let's figure this thing out. Take another chance at it rather than, to try force something in that's going to be a bad situation.
How much has the science of crash investigation changed in the 21 years you've been there?
Well, you hit on it with the cell phones, the digital iPads, the, you know, for flight, that kind of stuff. Also the Abidines, Garmin 1000, those kind of things just really provide a great deal of information to investigators for trying to be able to figure it out. And if you have even a handheld GPS, 396, 496, whatever, those things can just tell us a whole lot of information real quick, and that's really great. And then the other thing is, now that's a Perio, video cameras in the cockpits are coming in. And to get back to your question about the talking about the base to final thing, you mm-hmm. know, UND right now is looking at, you know, how military guys, you know, when you come off the one, you know, off the a beam, they kind of just, the beam or 180, they just kind of do that 30-degree angle bank all the way to the runway rather than going out and doing the 90-degree turn and then another 90-degree turn.
Right.
And they're looking, they're kind of studying that and saying, and AOPA is involved with this as well, is just saying, is that maybe a better way to handle it, so you don't have those sharp turns out there where you're going to have to, you know, put in those high angle of banks that would kind of maybe kind of induce a pilot to put in high angle of banks. So it's kind of an interesting study to see how that.
Yeah, all you have to do is learn your downwind spacing from the runway, and then you know that 30-degree bank angle will bring you right around to where you want to be.
Pretty much, and then you just modify it for crosswinds and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Of course, once again, if you're coming into, say, Oshkosh, you've got a lot on your plate there. You're a busy puppy.
Yeah, and I my hat off to all these guys that do it successfully year after year. In fact, the Malibu pilot last year, he had been in there maybe 10 times in the Malibu and other smaller aircraft, And so he wasn't a novice. It's just sometimes you just get, yep. you know, you can, yeah, the situation can kind of...
One thing overloads you.
Yeah. It can be a trick dealer. Yeah.
It's not, a lot of times, it's probably not something obvious. It's just a sequence of events.
Yeah,
you get one thing happens, and next thing you know, you've got a dozen after effects of that, and you can easily get overwhelmed.
Well, I can remember when I was flying, student flying, first couple times we did slow flight. You get the plane set up, you're trying to hold it 40 knots or whatever, and then he says, okay, turn. He knows that you're going to stall the airplane when you try that, because now you're fixing on the compass, not the airspeed.
Yeah, yeah. And the other two thing too is that, you know, with these kind of aircraft, a lot of them are high wing loading airplanes. They're not docile airplanes. You have to really fly them and know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah,
yeah. They will bite you if you're not careful.
Yeah, yeah. But fortunately, most of the guys here, you know, they do it successfully year after year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the other mantra about Oshkosh is never fly in here for the first time without an experienced person next to you.
That sounds very good advice.
And the other one is that you should fly in with an experienced pilot before you even think about flying in.
Yeah,
it all goes hand in hand. All about training.
Yep.
And then we won't have to see you.
Yeah, and you know, it's really great when you come down and you're on here for accident standby and nothing happens, and it's like, wow, this has been a fantastic week. And I've had those, and so I really appreciate it when it does happen.
Well, hopefully this week's been fairly quiet.
Yeah, I as far as I know, I haven't, since I'm not on this accident standby, I really haven't kept an ear to it, because I'm over at the booth and answering questions that people have, and it's been really a lot of fun, and they've really come up with some really interesting things that they want to talk about. So, and it's really good to talk to those folks.
Okay, well, we want to thank you for coming over. Jim Silliman.
Yep.
From the NTSB, National Traffic Safety Board, I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.